Today we are in Daniel chapter 3. We are going to continue our study of the book of Daniel. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'd like you all to go to Daniel chapter 3, and we are going to be reading a number of verses at this time. So we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. Amen? And amen. Verse 1, tell me when you're there. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7. And so the word of God says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Amen. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Amen, amen. So King Nebuchadnezzar sets up this image. Let me tell you what the actual size was. It was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. So he sets up this image and he calls all his officials, right? All the officials and those that had the provinces and all that, all the officials. Then somebody read verse 4 to 6 for me, and we'll talk about it.
Then Aharon cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at one time ye hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut,
cither."
Austery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music.
Yeah.
Ye fall down and worship, O God, and worship the golden image that
Nebuchadnezzar,
the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Wow.
Amen, amen. And verse, somebody read verse 7.
Therefore,
can't hear you, Dorcas. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, dulcimer, I can't say it, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up.
Oh my God, right?
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Right. So, do you remember when you go from verse, from chapter 2 to chapter 3, do you remember that the king had a dream?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that Daniel interpreted the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And the dream was about this image, this statue. You remember?
Oh.
Right?
I remember.
The king was the head of gold. So there's a link here between these two chapters, right? And there seems to be, this seems to be a result of that dream. Seems to be. We seem to be connecting the two. Amen. So he sets up this statue, and I gave you the dimensions. Mm. 90 feet tall.
Yes.
9 feet wide. And all in what metal? In gold.
Gold.
All in gold. Mm. Which what does that make you think of? That, you know, that he forgot about all the other metals and the kingdoms to come. He's the gold. He's the image of gold. He is the head. Amen? He is the ruler. It's all about him. Amen? Hallelujah. And remember that these were empires. You know, nations come and nations go, but there are only so many empires. There have been only so many empires since the beginning of time. This was the Babylonian Empire. That means that he ruled over nations. And what did he do? He commanded them to bow down to this image of gold.
Wow.
In essence, to worship him. To worship him. He forgot all about the God of Daniel that he had praised previously. And now he wants to be worshipped. Amen? And if he doesn't get worshipped, what's going to happen?
He's going to burn.
He's going to burn. He's going to throw you into that fire. Amen?
Wow.
And this, what? This is the spirit of pride. This is pride. The word of God says that pride goes before a fall.
That's right.
What we have to watch ourselves, that we do not walk in a spirit of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, I want to give you some information here. The word of God says that this image, right? This image was in that he had this image or this statue. It's not an image; it's a statue. He had the statue built. Amen. And when I was researching that, it said in the province of Dura or in the plain. If you go to verse 1, it says, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Mm-hmm. So when I researched this, it says that Dura, you know, was in Babylon, was one of the jurisdictional areas of Babylon. And there's a place called Tula Dura. Tula Dura. In Babylon, there is this place, okay, and in that place there is a base, you know, on the ground. There is a base where a colossal statue must have stood, because the base is about 20 feet high. The base itself, 20 feet high. And it is an exact square, about 46 feet at the base. So it's 46 feet by 46 feet by 40, you know, it's a square, right?
Mm-hmm.
All sides of the square are equal. So there's this base. And so it gives credence, right? It gives credence to this. Yeah. And many believe that that's where he may have
put
the statue erected.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, you know, the word of God, you know, people want to disregard the word of God and try to bring other reasons and other scientific reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't God the creator of science?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. People fail to see that. Every scientific principle there is on this earth emanates from God.
That's right.
Amen. So there you see, here's the king, erected this, had the statue erected, wants everybody to worship the statue, in essence, worshiping him. Remember that what? What were their gods made of? The gold, the silver, the wood,
metals.
Metals and other materials. So this is a god. This is a statue of a god, of himself as a god. Amen? So I'll take somebody to read verses 8. Okay, let's go to verse 8. And someone who hasn't read, let's go to verse 8. Well, Dorcas was starting to read before. Dorcas, would you read verse 8?
Absolutely.
Through verse 11.
Okay. And including 11?
Yes.
Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
Wow. I mean, I'm going to get back to these things, but these words, but a burning fiery furnace. Amen. This is his judgment that everyone has to worship the statue. And remember that he had elevated four Jews, right? He had elevated four Jews. And verse 12 says this, but there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. Your majesty, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. So what these naysayers are coming, right? These people that are jealous of what the king has done because he has elevated these people that he held captive, that he had taken captive from Jerusalem, and they're jealous, right? They're jealous. We have to be careful of the spirit of jealousy, you know? There's always someone that is going to try to knock us down, you know? You have to be very careful with the spirit of jealousy. But what I want to say is, look what they said. Look what they said. Your majesty, they neither serve your gods. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image you have set up. Two things they're upset about. Let me go back. They say over here, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image and pay no attention. Didn't they say, who pay no attention to you?
Mm-hmm.
Who pay? Where did they get that from? That's a general statement. They pay no attention to you. And yet, he had elevated them and they were doing what he wanted them to do. So you see the animosity, you see the lie in this? You see that people will say that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? You see that people make general comments? So we have to watch ourselves, that we don't lump what we see into one general comment. They were jealous, they were upset. The these young men were doing what he had ordered them. He had put them over areas, different areas, which we'll see later on. But he had selected these men from all the Jews. I mean, he didn't only bring over 4 Jews from Babylon. From Jerusalem. He brought over a slew of people because God had ordained that. Amen. We know that God had ordained that the Israelites would serve Babylon for 70 years because of their lack of obedience. So there was a slew of people he took, yet he selected these individuals, and he selected 4. So what should your question be? This says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
So who's the 4th?
Daniel, come on. Daniel is the 4th. Right? Isn't Daniel the one that interpreted the dreams?
Yeah.
God gave Daniel the interpretation.
Right.
Remember, okay. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at this, I said, so where's Daniel? How come the people didn't accuse Daniel? And I searched, and this is what I found out. He must have been out on some business for the king. He was not readily available.
That's right.
Otherwise, they would have accused him too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Makes sense.
So we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we accuse people of in our moment of disappointment, or we're being upset, or we're just being jealous. We have to be careful because God hears every word that we speak. And we're all guilty of that. Mm-hmm. No exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
We take things that we shouldn't say at times. I'm included.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Let's read verses 13. Somebody read verse 13. Somebody, 13 through 14. Somebody read 13 through 14.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, furious with rage, summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden statue I have set up?
Okay. And go ahead. Can you read them? Read through 15 to verse 15.
Now, if you are ready, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall and worship the statue I have made. But if you refuse to worship, you will be thrown at once into the blazing fiery furnace. Then what God will be able to deliver you from my hands?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So here's what I want you to focus on. Look at verse 14, where the king says, "Is it true? Is it true?
Is it true?"
Just ponder on that for a little bit.
Wow.
What we think is hidden will at some point in time be revealed.
That's right. Always.
Amen. Revealed. Amen. See, they were not present originally. And yet they were accused of not doing. Amen?
Yeah.
But they were neither hidden. See, they were not hiding what they did. You know, in this case, they were not hiding what they did. But what I get from that is whatever we do will eventually be exposed. The word of God says that.
Yes.
Amen. Well, so we have to watch. What is it that we do? See, also, in another vein, they must have known they would be discovered, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were not in hiding, worshiping their God. They didn't say, let's pull the shades down. Let's close the doors and let's continue to worship our God. And maybe they'll forget that we're here. And yet it wasn't hidden. They did not try to hide. And what they did not do in public. And yet, it wasn't hidden. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, they refused to do what? To worship a statue.
That's right.
They refused. Amen? And, you know, they knew that what they did would come out. Somebody would tell. Amen? They knew that it would be discovered, but they didn't care. They didn't care.
You know,
we can't go throughout life without being discovered. Amen? You know, the word says a lit candle cannot, in so many words, I'm paraphrasing. A lit candle cannot be hidden. Let's go to Matthew. Go to Matthew 5, 14 to 16.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone would like to read that?
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl.
Keep reading, Hector.
Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house.
Read the next verse.
In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen. You see?
That's right. Amen.
We cannot be closet Christians. You know, sometimes you get in a group and they're so anti-God that we refuse to say something.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We can't be that.
Absolutely.
Amen. We are followers of Christ, and they refuse to be closet Christians or closet believers in God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? The Word of God says you can't, you know, He has lit this vessel. He has come to dwell in your vessel. You have to let everyone know. You can't negate who you are. Amen. So look at this Nebuchadnezzar, right? When these astrologers came to him and they told him what these three men were doing. Amen. He didn't accept it as he didn't say, okay, let's throw them in the fire, right? He said, is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He went directly to these three men. He did not assume that what he was told was truth.
True.
And we have to be careful of that, assuming that hearsay is truth.
Mm-hmm.
You should always go to the person. It's hard sometimes, but you need to go to the individual and say, is it true? Is it true what I heard about you?
Mm-hmm.
And allow that person to tell you it is or it isn't true. Amen? So he did not accept hearsay. He did not accept the accusation. He went to the three young men, yeah, and he interviewed the three young men. Is it true? These are young men that he had exalted to high positions.
Yeah.
He had exalted them, or at least he thought he had exalted them. Yeah. We know that God had exalted them, right?
Amen.
Amen, amen. And he personally interviewed them. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And can you imagine that you refused to do something or say something, you said something, and the individual himself comes to you?
Mm-hmm.
That's the greater test. That's when you're either going to tell the truth or not.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, and I'll just deviate a second. Years ago, a woman wouldn't speak to me, and I said to her, I approached her, and I said to her, "What have I done to you that you're ignoring me?" And she said, "So and so and so said." And I went to so and so and so. And I knocked on this person's door, and I had the woman with me, and I said, "Did you say this and this, that I said this about so-and-so?" And what did she do? "I never said that." "No, of course not."
Mm-hmm.
She said it, but she was gossiping, and she wasn't speaking truth. So here's the king. He says, "Is it true? Is it true?" Amen. And this, you know, so that's a greater test when the individual himself or herself confronts you. We have to stay in the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Stay in the Lord, because he's the truth. We have to stay in the truth. Even when these young men were confronted by this pagan ruler of this empire, and even told that they would suffer a scorching death, they did not yield. They did not yield.
Right. Praise God.
Verses 16 to 18. Someone read those.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king."
Amen.
"But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up."
Amen. Amen. I love what it says here. If we were thrown into the blazing furnace, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The God we serve is able to deliver us.
Able.
But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship the image. We're still not going to bow down.
Mm-hmm. No, no idols.
No idols, absolutely. They were unrelenting in their belief and service of their God.
Mm-hmm.
They were unrelenting. Amen.
Amen.
See, they knew the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
They knew the commandments of their God. And as Mary said, Exodus 20:4-6 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that it is in the water below. You shall not bow down and serve them." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he finishes, God responding to the transgression of fathers by dealing with children to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. That's heavy. That's heavy. They knew that God said, you're not going to make an image or a statue of anything that is in heaven, anything that is on the earth, which is man, right? Or anything that is in the sea. Here's a statue to worship a man. They were not going to compromise. They were not going to compromise. And what else? They had witnessed firsthand what? The faithfulness of God, didn't they? Didn't they witness it when they refused to eat the king's food?
Oh, yeah.
And they looked better than all the other Israelites. Yeah. Amen. And they had all the wisdom that God had given them. And they prayed, and Daniel received the interpretation of the king's dream.
Amen.
And his statue, and yet they are not ashamed of their invisible God.
Hallelujah.
Our God is the invisible God, amen? But he's present, and he manifests his presence.
Yes.
Amen? When we worship him, when we serve him, when we refuse to compromise. Here are these young men standing in a life-threatening position. Amen? In the midst of adversity, can we refuse to compromise when we're in such a state, when adversity is all around us? Amen? When our position is being threatened by those that do not believe, can we stand our ground and not compromise?
Yes, Father. Thank you so much.
Verse 19 says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. His attitude changed. Has this happened to you with people? When you refuse to compromise, their attitude towards you changes. You're going to see that. We live in a fallen world.
Yes.
We live in a world that is constantly and continuously trying to erase God from all society.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You will not compromise.
We cannot care about other people's attitudes when we refuse to compromise our belief in our God, when circumstances are not conducive to what our God says. Mm-hmm. When you are in an environment that is not according to where God says you should be.
That's right.
Early in my Christian work, I saw that, and I felt it. When I was in a place or an environment where people were acting contrary to the Word of God, I knew at that moment, I'm not supposed to be here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit within you will let you know.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will even let you know when you're in what appears to be a godly environment or a God-believing church. The Holy Spirit will tell you right away, this is not me. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You have to be willing to hear the voice of the Spirit. It is not intuition. It is the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells, resides, lives inside of you.
Yes.
Amen, amen. Look at this. He ordered the furnace to be made 7 times hotter. Amen?
Wow.
Wow. This was a continuation of verse 18. Or 19, excuse me. He ordered the furnace to be 7 times higher. Verse 20 says, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army. Let me see, let me go back. I think I missed the verse here. But somebody read verse 19. Oh, I see it here. Let somebody read it anyway. I kind of went by it.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed.
Yes.
So he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual.
Yep, that's the verse. Amen. And then verse 20, let's read verse 20 and 21. Okay, let's read through verse 23.
And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do I keep going?
No, that's it. Like I said before, 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter.
Mm-hmm.
That has to show you how furious he was. How furious he was. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And look, they were thrown in with all their clothing, right?
Yep.
So you know what that made me think of? 7 times hotter made me think of a crematory.
Mm.
There would be nothing but ashes left. That's what he was expecting. No remembrance of them, right? Quickly, no remembrance, and quickly burned to ashes. That's what he was expecting,
mm.
right?
Uh-huh.
It was so hot that the soldiers that were being thrown in, I guess, got burned to death or made it, you know, they were killed. Could you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Ooh, hot.
So what we have to see is that sometimes, amen, we're going to go through trials.
Mm-hmm.
Persecutions, afflictions. This was a trial for these young men.
Sure was.
And they were young men. This was a trial, amen. And sometimes the trial that we go through seems so severe that sometimes we feel like we won't survive it. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't see your way out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what anyone says, you feel like you're dying. We're going to go through trials. The Lord said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. So yes, we're saved. Yes, we live in victory, but we have not been exempted from trials.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Amen.
They will come.
The enemy will bring trials into your life, and sometimes people will bring trials into your lives, and sometimes we will bring trials into our lives because of the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's not only Satan, it's other people, it's ourselves, but this trial was so severe, I cannot fathom. I say, Lord, help us. Help us not to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord, not to compromise. Deliver us. Take us home. Nobody
Amen.
Wants to hear that. But take me home, Lord, before I have to, I feel led to compromise.
Right.
Take me home.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Yep.
Okay. Look at 1 Peter verses 4, chapter 4, verses 12-16. Let me read this to you. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. That sounds contradictory, right? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, amen. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or evildoer, or as busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. What is that saying? That's a mouthful. It's saying you're going to suffer, and it's for the glory of God. It's not that God is making you suffer. It's that when you suffer, other people, other things, other situations, the enemy is causing this to come upon you. And be still, because you're not suffering because you're a thief or a murderer or you did something wrong. Have you suffered because of Christ? The cause is Christ. Have you suffered for the cause of Christ? Have people rejected you for the cause of Christ? Because you're a believer, because you're a Christian. God is not saying that he's doing this. He's saying rejoice. In other words, they rejected me. They'll reject you, but be... rejoice, because it shows you are one of me. You are being attacked because you are mine. You're being attacked.
That's right.
See? But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. You know, there is this, and it's been for decades, this belief. Oh, what did you do wrong that you are going through this? You know, God must be upset with you. All the time, such a false belief.
Mm-hmm.
There's this theology that we're not going to go through anything. We're not going to. But the word doesn't say that. We cannot preach contrary to the word of God.
That's right.
Just name it and claim it. This all this gospel about you're gonna live this and you're gonna live that. Yes, God wants you to be prosperous, but the word says as your soul prospers.
Exactly.
As your soul man is renewed. And it's not prosperity necessarily in money. It's in different areas of your life. But if your soul does not prosper, that means that your mindset is not being changed. And if your mindset is not changed, you cannot walk in the things that God has called for you to walk in. So remember that when you're born again, it's your spirit that is born again. Your soul has to be renewed. Doesn't that say that in Romans? According to the word of God.
Sounds good. Yes.
Anyway, let's go to verse 24.
That's right. Hallelujah. My soul. My soul.
Go ahead, Mary, read it. Mary, verse 24.
Where, Daniel?
Yes, Daniel chapter 3, verse 24.
You're going to Matthew and Daniel, so you're confused. Can somebody else read it?
Yes, Lisa, would you read it?
Amen.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound unto the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king."
And read the next one.
"Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So here's this pagan king, right? Let me go. Okay. I'm going to go back to something else. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's this pagan king, and he says, "Look, I see four men. One," and he says, "one like a son of the gods," because he believed in many gods, right? But we believe it was the pre-incarnate form of Jesus. See, incarnate, he still hasn't come into the world physically through Mary, right? This is way before.
Right.
Right? So we saw that in when we read about Melchizedek in Genesis, this king or this priest and king who appeared, who was the king of Salem, which means Jerusalem. Anyway, Melchizedek, it said he was a priest of the Most High God. We also believe that was a pre-incarnate form of Jesus. Jesus coming to the earth even before he was born through Mary. So we believe this is what's happening here, that Jesus was literally in the furnace with the three men. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So what does that teach us? What that teaches us is that it doesn't matter what you're going through. As a believer, Christ is always with us. In the midst of your crisis, he's there. You may not feel him. You may be so wrapped up in what's going on with you that you don't think he's there, but he's with you. He's right there with us when we go through crises.
Amen.
And because our God is invisible at this stage of our existence, we forget that he's always present there. He's always present. He's everywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere.
Amen.
In the middle of our fiery trials, he's there. Why doesn't he pull us out of the fiery trial immediately? You have to ask him. I don't know. I would like him to. Many people say it's because we have to learn certain things, and we learn it through the process. That's why we are parents. You cannot pull your children out of every crisis. You cannot, because then there's no learning process. We learn when we fall down and we get ourselves back up. That's the learning process. If everything is handed to you, there's no learning. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But let me go back to something that I was meaning to say and I kept on bypassing. Who did Nebuchadnezzar make you think of? What did he make you think of, Vinny? Who did he make you think of?
A narcissist.
The Antichrist, right? The Antichrist.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
The Antichrist is going to set up an image, and he's going to want to be worshipped.
Right,
and Satan
right.
wants to be worshipped. You know that Satan will eventually indwell the Antichrist so that what he wants done will be manifested. But do you know
who Satan was originally? He was Lucifer, the angel of light, the worshiper. The one from whom emanated music to worship God. Amen? So he craves worship. He's being led by Satan, who's craving worship. That's what the Antichrist did, right? So I think he was a shadow, like we have types and shadows in the Old Testament of what's going to happen in the new and in the future. We have types and shadows. I believe he was a shadow of the Antichrist.
Wow.
He wanted to be worshipped, walking in pride. Amen. Being the leader of the entire world and the entire empire. So I wanted to leave you with, let you have that now. Let's go back to where we were. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Hallelujah. Now the first thing I saw was this. He approached the furnace. There's a question that you should ask there. What's the question that we should ask?
Why
did he die?
Go ahead, Dorcas. Go ahead.
Why is the,
You got it. Well, say it.
Why is the king there? You know?
Why isn't he consumed?
Right. He's put his hand.
When I looked at it, I said, wait a minute. The soldiers approach to throw the men in, and they were immediately killed. Now, he's looking at the three men, and our impression is that the fire is still going. So this is what I got from this.
They get burned.
I said, God even has purposes for the unbeliever. He's even got purpose for them. And they would not leave this earth either unless the purpose that God has for them is accomplished. God had a purpose for this pagan ruler. That's what I got from it. You can disagree or gotta figure it out. Amen?
Wow.
Amen. Hallelujah. And look what he said. Look what he said. He said, servants of the Most High God. Of the Most High God. Of God Elyon. Servants of the Most High God. You know what that means? That God is supreme. That's what the Most High God means. He recognized, amen? He recognized that their God was the supreme God. Not his gods. Amen? He recognized that his gods could not do this.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Even from water, that was hot.
Amen. Amen. So, we're finishing up. So, it says, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And, Larry said that. I was thinking of all the instruments, and I was thinking of Satan. He was the worshiper. And this king had all the instruments that I guess were available at that time to play, you know, so that the people could bow down. When you hear all these instruments, again, Satan. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. and there was no smell of fire on them. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the point here is not that they went into the fire. Amen. And not that they came out of the fire, but the point is that they came through the fire. They came through the fire. You and I will come through the fire. We are believers in God. We will mm-hmm. come through the fire. They did not smell of the smoky, acrid, singed flesh. They had no smell on them. Hallelujah. We will not smell when we come through that fire.
That's right.
Amen. The word of God in Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, you're going to go through the waters.
That's right.
I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow
right.
you. They're not going to drown you. Hallelujah. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned.
Right.
Hallelujah. Shall the flame Amen. Scorch you? It says when. Again, confirmation that we're going to go through stuff in mm-hmm. this life. Mm-hmm. We live in a fallen, imperfect world filled with unbelievers, filled with believers of other gods, filled with those that worship idols. You've seen the idols. You've seen them in different religions.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to get burned when we go through the trials. We're not going to drown. Hallelujah. We're not going to smell of the trial that we went through. He's going to take us through. Amen. They came through the fire. We are not exempt from trials. We're not exempt. People, you know, things will, like I said before, they come from different areas, these trials. And primarily, Satan. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I said ourselves, right? You can be a Christian and you can be going through a trial because unknowingly or unwittingly, you initiated that trial. And then verse 20 is, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God's going to bring you through. When
That's
you
right.
worship your God, who is the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the one who is I am, he will take you through. It doesn't matter what the enemy has brought against you. It doesn't matter. God will bring you through if you don't lose your faith, if you stay grounded in his word. Amen. God is your rescuer. God is your healer. God is the one who will take you through. God is your vindicator.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is your avenger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is your restorer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't give up on God. Amen. You may have to give up on people, but don't give up on God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's going to set you free. He prays the God of the Hebrews. He prays the God Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. He acknowledged their commitment to their God. He said, they defied, they trusted in their God and they defied me. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust in our God for whatever it is that we need. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We have to defy those that say we cannot. We have to defy those that say we cannot be healed. We have to defy those that negate the word of God. We got to stand on his word and know that his word is true and his word is firm. And he said, Jesus, I will never leave you. I will never forsake
you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I will be with you even until the end of this age. Hallelujah. God is with you. You got to recognize that. We got to recognize.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We can give up on everybody, but we can't give up on God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Right.
I have to say, God is your healer, Sister Elsie. God is the one God is the one that is gonna see you through. God is your healer. God is your healer. Don't entertain negativity. Don't entertain what the negative comments of people. Don't entertain what the doctors say. Believe that God is your healer and stand on it and speak to your God and tell him, you're the God that heals me. Your word says that you healed everyone that came to you, and I'm coming to you because I know that your healing virtue flows through my veins. Hallelujah. I am touching the hem of your garment, and I know that you are healing me, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is your healer. God is our healer. God is our restorer. God is the one that sets us free. Hallelujah. Commit your children to God. Give them to God. Give them to God. Give your grandchildren to God. Don't try to do what you cannot do. We are not God. Only God can do that. Only God can save our children. Only God can restore them. Only God can bring them to his knee, to their knees. Hallelujah. We have to say, no matter what it takes, God, and we're afraid to say that. No matter what it takes, Lord, I'm going to take my hands off and I'm going to give them to you because you healed these men through the fire. My children have gone through the fire. They're going through the fire because of their unbelief, God, but you can restore them. You can restore them. You said, blessed are you and your descendants. You said, blessed are you and your descendants. Hallelujah. He said, you and your household. He said, you and your household will be saved. You and your household. Stop trying to do it. Let God do it. Stand on the word. Stand on his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Surrender. Let's surrender to him. Surrender. Surrender your life. Surrender your ideas. Surrender what he has called you to do. He will make the way. He will make the way. Man cannot make the way, but God is. He said, I will straighten your path. I will make a path for you, and I will make that path straight. And that path will lead to me, to what I have desired for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And finally, in verse 29, Nebuchadnezzar said this, therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. He issued a decree. He issued a command. Don't you dare say a word about a negative word about the God of these men, about the God of the Hebrews. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then he promoted them. Verse 30 says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Amen.
And faithfulness leads to promotion.
Thank you, Jesus.
Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Don't give up on your God. Don't give up on your God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. It doesn't matter what the enemy is bringing you through.
Jesus.
I have to emphasize. Look, we're Christians. We're worshipers of the one true God. You don't think that you're a target for the enemy? Of course we are. We're targets because we have not chosen him. We have chosen the Almighty God. Hallelujah. So, yes, we will go through. But if you stand on it, you stand on your faith, God will see you through. Amen. Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.